Now, number two is, verse 5, that chant to the sound of the harp and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David. Now, they came up with a lot of new tunes in that day. You may think hard rock music and rock and roll is something new, and jazz, they had it back in that day. And music, the character of music can destroy a nation. And friends, as far as I'm concerned, we've arrived there. Now, I know I sound like a square. Now, I'll get many letters on this that what a backward fella I am. Well, I am. And somebody's going to say, you don't know anything about music. I sure don't. I know whether I like it or whether I don't like it. And a lot of it I don't like today. And I just don't listen to it. The chant of the sound of the harp. In other words, the music no longer was used as it was in David's day. And David was a genius. But his music was to praise and glorify God. But now they had also geniuses in their day. But they were not writing music to praise God. And for the glory of God, it was, of course, that which would take people away from God and the worship of God. Now we come to the third in verse 6. That drink wine in bowls. Not just in little glasses, but in bowls. They were really alcoholics. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Now, they drink wine in bowls and they anoint themselves. You see, in that day, why, there was a great deal of tension spent on the matter of getting the right kind of ointment for your underarms. And I don't mind mentioning it because they mention it on TV all the time now. And in that day, it was pretty important that you use the right kind of spray and the right kind of deodorant. But it's drunkenness that was destroying the nation. Now, these were the three sins. And now, I'm not going over it. I went over it some time ago. That drunkenness is the thing that is destroying our nation today as well as these other sins. And we're not getting by with it. And today, it's becoming an alarming sort of thing. I have a statement here that there are 9 million alcoholics in the country and that there are 36 million people whose lives are directly affected by the alcoholic. And I got that out of Ann Landers' column a few years ago. That is the picture of this country today. And other statistics that 50% of these accidents where people are killed, and there are more people being killed in automobile accidents in this country than were ever killed in Vietnam, but nobody is protesting the fact that 50% of them are caused by alcohol. And you find nothing said about that. And I was amazed that a few years ago that one of the distilleries had an advertisement about the young people drinking, and they said they were concerned about it. It says, teenager, now I'm reading from an advertisement of a distiller. Teenagers, especially in a group, are often tempted to do things they might not do on their own, like taking a drink when they know they shouldn't. We're sure you're concerned about this problem. Imagine a liquor maker telling me and you that they think we are concerned because they are. Well, why don't you quit making this stuff? But you won't have to worry much about it if you've shown your youngster over the years that your ideas about drinking are healthy and mature. Well, now, what are healthy and mature ideas about drinking? It's drinking, isn't it? That is, that's what they have in mind. They're surely not running an advertisement on prohibition. And I'd like to conclude by reading this poem. It's Nobody's Business is the name. It's nobody's business what I drink. I care not what my neighbors think or how many laws they choose to pass. I'll tell the world I'll have my glass. Here's one man's freedom cannot be curbed. My right to drink is undisturbed. So he drank in spite of law or man. then got into his old tin can, stepped on the gas and let it go down the highway to and fro. He took the curves at 50 miles with bleary eyes and a drunken smile. Not long till a car he tried to pass, then a crash, a scream and breaking glass. The other car was upside down, about 2 miles from the nearest town. The man was clear, but his wife was caught, and he needed the help of that drunken sot, who sat in a maudlin drunken daze and heard the scream and saw the blaze, but too far gone to save a life by helping the car from off the wife. The car was burned, and a mother died, while a husband wept and a baby cried, and a drunk sat by, and still some think it's nobody's business what they drink. May I say to you, this is what destroys nations, not just accidents on the highway. These are the three great sins that have brought great nations down. And I just don't think we're the exception to the rule as a nation. It's enough to break any person's heart when you see what's happening in this great nation of ours today. And we try to explain it away by saying that we now are civilized. We today have a new morality. We have grown up. We've got rid of the old Puritan notions. And by the way, the Puritans and the Pilgrims founded a great nation. Are we the sophisticated and suave folk? Are we going to keep it that way, or are we losing it today? May I say that this message of Amos was fulfilled in his day. The northern kingdom went into captivity. It was destroyed. These are the sins that brought it down. Now, friends, in conclusion, the three great sins that undermine every great nation of the world and has led to the downfall of all the great powers of the past. And we saw them in verses 4, 5, and 6. In verse 4, it was gluttony and sex. In verse 5, it was heathen music. And in verse 6, it was drunkenness. And we dealt with those three, and we're not going into that again today, other than it's the same old story, wine, women, and song. That's what a great many people think life is. But actually, that is not what life's all about. That's what death is all about. And this is the philosophy that says, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Or the philosophy says, pick the daisies while you can. The day is coming when you won't be able to pick them. In other words, satisfy self. But if a man goes down the line or a nation, he'll find out that this does not lead to a pot of gold, but it's a dead-end street, with the emphasis upon dead. It's led to the death of individuals and nations. And it reveals something quite interesting, that the heart is one of the most remarkable organs that God has put in the human body. It's a very small organ, by the way. But you know, you can put the world in it, and when you do, you can't even feel the heart. Remarkable, is it not?